throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. It is a Friday, so it's a Financial Friday with Scott Garrison. Garrison Financial, Scott at SoonerWealth.com. He'll be telling you all about his services. He'll bring some sort of money thing. I've got a question for him. If it's not what he's got with what we heard about yesterday, with some of those meteorites contracts and the like. So we'll get right here off the top of the show with Scott. We'll also talk the big news of yesterday. Deshaun Watson's suspension is handed down. Talk about that. Also, a couple oddities in the NFL schedule with some quarterbacks playing their old team right off the bat. High school football gets cranked up. Actually got cranked up last night in some places with some scrimmages or scrimmages tonight. We'll kind of talk about a little bit of a preview of high school football here in the middle of the show. And then another thing that maybe he's got. A lot of money on my mind with regards to sports. Yesterday, it was announced that Kansas will have sports gambling. Just like Arkansas, just like Louisiana, just like everybody around Oklahoma but Texas. Why? Why is it not here? So we can talk about that as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We'll talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with us by logging on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon app. The app's got all three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. Brand new Penny News is out. Go pick up your free copy. Check it out online at thepennynews.com. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV as well. You can watch the scrimmage tonight. It's not going to be like a normal broadcast. We're not going to sit there and do play-by-play of every play. We're going to be more like a preview show, showing the action, mentioning some kids. It's a lot of new guys who will have the ball in their hands this year for the Elks. Talk about the district, talk about 4A, a lot of different things, and quite frankly, work out any kinks that we might have in the process with our equipment. So it'll be fun. You'll be able to see the plays. We'll tell you who's doing what. But check it out on BigElkTV.com. Also, we've got the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can check us out on iTunes or KADSAM.com. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
I like your shirt.
What? Yeah, you like that? It's about that time, man. It's about that time. Time for football.
You got to tell our listeners what he's wearing here.
It's Bud Berry, Bob Brent, program guys.
You know, was there somebody in between there?
I don't remember. I don't,
well, it did start with a B, but
no.
What?
Gary Gibbs.
Oh. Well, that's true.
Blake.
John Blake. Blake.
Yeah. Well, that's the last name, see. We got close with that hire, just not quite there. Now, did you happen to hear our discussion yesterday about who would follow Saban?
I did not. I did. I did catch a little bit of that.
How cool.
And I agree with you. I would rather be the guy that follows the guy.
Wouldn't it be cool, though, if it was Bob and then Bob came to Norman as an SEC opponent and coach against Brent?
Oh, man. Bob wouldn't do that.
I think consciously Bob wouldn't want
to
do that.
I think that goes against his morals to go to Alabama. Right?
I just think it'd be cool.
Yeah.
It'd be the same colors.
Yeah. Yeah.
That he always wore, you know?
That's true. Hey, one of the greatest games ever. Ronaldo works, scores two touchdowns against Alabama in what? The last
2002?
Last 2.5 minutes of the game? Yeah.
That's when everybody knew what the what's it called? The shuttle pass.
Yep.
Figured out what that was again in life.
Exactly.
All right, what you got for us today?
So, hey, let's just jump into the gambling. You want to talk gambling.
Yes.
So, I can answer your question immediately if you want me to answer it immediately.
Why we don't have it?
Yeah.
It's because the governor's office and the tribes will not agree.
Tribal lobbying. Yes. They are paying a lot of money to make sure that we do not get that. So,
well, now
I don't want to get too political.
No. But don't you think there is a point where the pie gets big enough on their side that they agree to it?
I can't believe it's not there already. I don't understand. I mean, who wouldn't like to go sit down in a sports book with their buddies on College game day and do what Calvin Ridley did, and hopefully you don't lose an $11 million salary instead of $1,500 bucks on a bet.
Well, you know what? I feel pretty comfortable that won't happen to me. The losing the salary part.
No, but that's where I was going to go with all of this. But yeah, that's why we don't have it. I don't know when they're going to find a way to work it around to do it. But I was going to talk a little bit today. So first of all, let's do this one first. What do you think is the most ridiculous fine against a sports persona? For what and what amount? Is there something that stands out in your mind?
Dress code, shirt not tucked
in.
Yeah,
but those are usually grand, stuff like that, that they don't.
I mean, I think those are kind of ridiculous. I think,
of course, that's also why those guys go broke, because they're like, screw it, I'm going to wear one different sock and pay somebody $10,000 so that I can wear a different sock.
The Calvin Ridley one is a hard one to get past.
Yeah. He bet a 3, a 5, and a 7-game parlay, $1,500 total, and he lost the entire season. $11 million.
He bet for his team, and I get it. You know, you go into any locker room in baseball, the only rule on there is don't bet. Having said that, he bet for his team to win, and he also was on the injured reserve and had zero chance to play. He was out for the year.
Yeah.
Having said that, I get it. Had it was
no,
gambling,
no
and
effect.
That's the thing that you're not supposed to do. But considering what he wagered and his position on the team at the time, that seems pretty ridiculous to me.
Yeah. Well, how about Josh Gordon losing an entire career for using a drug that is legal in probably 25 to 30 states?
Yeah. That's up there.
I think that one's up there pretty high. So I was talking about, we're talking a little bit about Deshaun Watson and what that means. Did you do a little breakdown on what that?
It hadn't happened yet. I think it's ridiculous. I think we talked before when the first one came out and was appealed, that this is a chance for Roger Goodell and the NFL to actually stand up and let their actions speak louder than their words for the first time, maybe forever, on the abuse of women. I mean, we've seen it started with Ray Rice, a 2-game suspension, and then the video comes out and he never plays again. But that wasn't because the NFL did what they were supposed to do. They got caught doing what they weren't going to do.
Right. Exactly.
Kareem Hunt, the ridiculous video of him, you know, and then all these other things from Greg Hardy with all those guns and threatening to kill his girlfriend. They had a chance here to not right those wrongs, but at least get to where they think or where they tell you they stand. And instead of him doing it, he handed it over to somebody else. And then at that point, even after, you know, Sue Robinson made her ruling, it still came back. The ball was in his court to say, and it, supposedly he wanted a year and $11 million fine. Then hand it out. Then do it.
Exactly.
Then do it.
Well, that's not even my biggest issue. My biggest issue is you have a team that structured a salary purposefully.
That's right.
Purposefully, because they knew that by doing this, they would get his contract. A lot of other teams were willing to give him close to the same amount of money, but a lot of it was going to be in the first year salary.
Right.
And he knew he was going to lose a lot of that first year salary. Mm-hmm. So how come he gets a $5 million fine and the Cleveland Browns only get a one?
And what about the Texans?
What about the
Texans? The Texans were the ones that were renting the hotel rooms for a lot of this to happen.
That's unbelievable.
So something has to happen to both of those teams at some point. You know, in that trade, there was a first-round pick that went from Cleveland to Houston, a bunch of them. So how about this year, nobody gets to have that pick?
Yeah, that's not a bad.
Plus millions of dollars in fines. And I did see that the NFL, to their credit, is going to take all of that fine money and spend it or give it to causes that are trying to, you know, eliminate the abuse of women, which that's all well and good.
But it still goes back to show that they're not trying to hurt the teams or the owners in any way, shape, or form.
No, they're not.
They're telling the players that all the accountability lies with the players. None of the accountability lies with the teams or the owners.
And I think you see for the first time, you know, a lot of times, no matter what the dispute is, no matter what the, you know, the problem, most of the time, the owners are all together. I think Jimmy Haslam is out on an island right now because the rest of the owners are pissed that he did, one, guaranteed that whole contract of that guy, and then, two, structured it the way that he did. You know, because right now, if you look at their – Jim was talking about this yesterday afternoon after the news hit. You know, what are their odds? Cleveland's to win this, to win that. It hasn't moved much.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if it's because the people spending the money and gambling out there on this are thinking to themselves, wait a minute, they structured this in order in a way that it doesn't hurt them for him just not to play this year. Bring on Jimmy G. He's still out there. We can trade for him, have him a year. His contract is done at the end of the year. We're only paying Deshaun $1 million against the cap. So maybe something like that. We're not losing anything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. And it's not just the NFL either. It's you know, I was going through. So then I was like, okay, well, where do the fines really come in? You know, where do the serious fines really come in? Some of the biggest fines that I could find. How about the Minnesota Timberwolves? They did a little ring around the rosy on the salary cap deal 1 year back in 2000, okay? They ended up losing – first-round draft picks for the next 5 years, okay? McLaren Mercedes got caught spying on other race teams 1 year. That was in 2013. Guess how much they got fined? $100 million. So these leagues, these controlling, governing bodies of all of these sports, when cheating looks like it's going on with other owners and other teams, boy, we'll fine you hard.
Mm-hmm.
But God forbid we hold the owners accountable for their employees' actions, and that's what these guys are. They are the employees of the owners.
That's right. And something you said, this just gives everyone else, signals to everyone else in that league, you can basically do anything you want to with regards to domestic abuse, sexual abuse, and as long as there's not criminal charges, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
I did find it interesting that he being Deshaun Watson, has a kind of regimen that he has to follow.
Well, and if he
messes up, then he can either, you know, that
it opens him up in civil court.
And it also, you know, for a longer suspension, as far as the, you know, that can add to it if he doesn't by the letter of what he's asked to do. I mean,
but once again, who pays the penalty for that?
It's him.
Not the team.
Not the team. I guess you could say in a small way that the Cleveland Browns are paying a penalty of essentially losing a year from everybody else. Because 11 games, they're not making the playoffs, even if he comes back and he wins
Jimmy
all of
G,
them. But that
they
gives
might get Jimmy G, and they might not even play Deshaun Watson through the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean
the guy's missed – now the guy's going to miss a year and two-thirds.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, got to be a lot of rust on that gun.
And look at the game that he did play just the other day. He looked terrible.
Yeah.
Didn't even look like Deshaun Watson.
So, all right. Trivia for the day. You ready, Jared?
Hit me.
Here you go. All right. What do you guys think is the biggest – I already told you, $100 million fine against Mercedes McLaren. What was the biggest fine of all time? Any sport.
Oh, man.
Well, since you're here, I'm going to think it's soccer.
I was going to go more. Does Olympics count? Does like the IOC
all
count?
All sports.
Anything?
All sports.
I got to think it's something with one of those governing bodies.
I would have to say it's a guy being recorded by his girlfriend and ending up having Donald to Sterling. Sell a $3 billion yeah, team.
Donald Sterling for sure. 100% that's right. No one's lost more than him.
Yeah.
No one.
That one slipped my mind.
No one's lost more than him. Except for maybe Daniel Snyder here in just a little bit. because as valuable as the Clippers are, the Commanders are more valuable.
That's a good catch.
Yeah, well, that was more on purpose. Good stuff, Scotty. We appreciate you stopping by. Tell everybody where they can come find you and what you can do for
them. Come see me on the corner of 3rd and Main, right down there, 124 North Main. And let's sit down. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about your goals. Let's talk about your desires, your dreams, and get you on the right path.
Just think, 1 week from today when you're in here, we'll be a day away from Nebraska, Northwestern, and Ireland. College football.
That's right.
We'll be a day away.
And today or tomorrow, we're a month away from another 11 a.m. kickoff for OU Nebraska, which should be the greatest game of the day and should be at 7 o'clock at night.
The problem is the kids listening to us have no idea Nebraska ever really could play football.
That's true.
Sad deal. One of the greatest days of all time was in Norman in 2000.
We were there.
Thank you, Scott Garrison. It's a Financial Friday with Scott at Garrison Financials. Shoot him an email, scott@soonerwealth.com. As he mentioned, southeast corner of 3rd and Main. Go check him out for all your financial needs. We'll keep telling you guys about him when we come back.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member, FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Always good to have Scott in with us. Garrison Financial, as we mentioned, southeast corner of 3rd and Main. He does full financial planning. You can shop the open market to bring the best value on life insurance and investments. And I know a lot of you guys and gals like to kind of watch the market, play the market, do everything financially by yourselves. But even then, there's a little bit of unease and not sure what to do. Here's the deal. He can manage your investments, or he can build you a plan so that you can manage them, kind of show you the ins and outs and help you along that path. That's a really cool thing that Scott can do. Scott@soonerwealth.com. Scott Garrison there at Garrison Financial. So I had the Deshaun Watson thing teed up here. 11 games, $5 million fine. It's the largest fine for a player with the player conduct policy in the history of the NFL. You know, it sounds like both sides, being the NFL and the Players Association, agreed that 6 games wasn't enough. In the ruling by the magistrate, which all she did was follow precedent because that was kind of the thing. And so not necessarily kicked the can down the road, just thought, my hands are tied here, mm-hmm. even though I believe he did something really bad. It sounds like both sides kind of agreed with that. Players Associated wanted 8. Goodell wanted a full year and $11 million in fine. They found kind of the middle road there with 11 games and $5 million. It's not enough. The NFL has missed a huge chance, in my mind, to practice what they like to preach with regards to protecting women and the well-being of women. And it's just another failed opportunity by Roger Goodell and the NFL to put their foot down and show that they're not going to tolerate this kind of action. And all this does is open it up to happen again.
Yeah, it's going to happen again. It's unfortunate. It's you talk about precedent, okay, This is what's going to happen. And Goodell is a chicken, and you could finish the last word there. He's a scared little boy because he can't be man enough. He says what he wants, but he's not man enough to actually do it. He's a little dog with a big bark, and that's all he's got. There's no bite to him. I don't care if he's scared. It's what it is. He's scared, it sounds like, of the Players Association. I know they won one thing. You know, they got to fight for the players. I get that. But if you want to be the leader of this sports organization, the biggest sports organization in the world, some would say, then take him out what you want, a full year, fine him more, whatever you want, because you're the leader, you're the boss. And you can look the Players Association straight in the eye and go, if you don't like it, then you can make it public. You're going to be looking like the bad guy trying to protect this guy. Because I think the court of public opinion knows that this was it was weak to only give him 11 games. And you can't tell me that this wasn't planned. The first game back is against Houston.
That is wild, isn't it?
You can't tell me. Why not a dozen games?
See,
no, let's make it 11. Let's just find a random number, 11. And, oh, by the way, he comes back against Houston, probably going to be the most watched game that particular week.
See, I think it's the other way. I think they wanted 10, but they couldn't make it 10. You know why? You know who they'd have played then?
Who's that?
Tampa. They can't have Deshaun Watson and the GOAT on the field at the same time. Mm-hmm. I really don't think they looked past that. You know, thinking, okay, 10 games. Whoa, no. That is a national television game against the GOAT, Tom Brady, in Tampa Bay. 11. And then all of a sudden, oops. The way I think. They just could not have Brady and Watson being on the same field. You can't have photos and video of them hugging after the game. You know what I'm saying? That cannot happen. But he absolutely – and what's strange about that? What you said is right now, but look at the hit. Ever since Goodell took over as the judge, jury, and the executioner, he's been pretty hard on everything but this topic. I mean, he gave Brady 4 games for taking some air out of some footballs. He gave Calvin Ridley the whole year for betting a parlay card. But this topic... And maybe it's because they get away with not having to deal with this topic by saying player conduct and using that player conduct policy as a catch-all thing to not have to say sexually abusing women or domestically abusing women. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They can use the player conduct policy to kind of sidestep what's really happening here in a lot of these cases. And it's sickening. And, you know, he can stand behind the, well, this is what we wanted. Well, if it's what you wanted, do it. You had the ability to do it. With the appeals process was right on your desk. And he punted and handed it off to another guy because he couldn't take the smoke. You make $50 million a year. Take some smoke and get something done. Because here's the deal. It's not like there was going to be a giant backlash against that decision. Who do you know that that would be upset if he got the whole year?
Nobody.
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 There would be nobody today.
That's what I meant when I said if you're scared of the backlash, of any kind of backlash. This was a particular case. You weren't going to get any of it. None of it. If you're scared of the Players Association, this is your leverage to say, this is what's going to happen. And if you're going to fight this, it's going to be very public, and you're going to look bad, Players Association. You guys are fighting for this guy. You want to go bat for him? Fine. But this, I mean, what happened? I mean, is he that soft? He's a clown. I'm done with this guy.
I don't know if it's just, did he get a bunch of backlash from some different owners behind the scenes with the Brady deal? That's kind of the last high-profile decision when he, you know, that he made himself. Is that it? I don't know. But there's very few times in our country right now where you can have 90 5% favorability on any decision you make, including telling somebody, hell, the sky's blue. You might get 10% people arguing just because they want to argue with you. And he had a chance to be minimum of 95% favorable with the decision to suspend Deshaun Watson for the entire year, and he punted. He absolutely punted, and it's sick. And listen, NFL, I do not want to see any of these commercials, these PSAs about your players standing up for women, and no. Because you don't.
Don't believe it.
You just had the chance to, and you didn't. All right, it doesn't seem appropriate to skip right to high school football at the moment.
We got to ease into this. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that one oddity of the NFL schedule, which is because of the Cleveland gets a bye in the first 12 or in the first 11 weeks, that when he's eligible to come back and play, sure enough, Houston is the opponent. So Watson, his first game is against Houston. But you know who else's first games are against the teams they just left? There's two of them, week one. We all know Baker and the Browns. You know who the other one is?
Is it Seattle?
It is. Russell Wilson in Seattle.
I know that because I watched a little bit of that Seattle game last night, and they were talking about, yeah, a lot of Russell Wilson talk, of course.
It's just odd. And especially in those two instances for, like, Seattle and Denver, Cleveland and Carolina, they only play like once every 3 or 4 years because they're in different conferences. So it's once every three, I guess, or four. Yeah, there's four divisions. So every fourth year you get the AFC North and the NFC South playing, right? And the same thing on the other side there with the Wests. How wild is that? That the year and not only to play, but for the schedule. I mean, the schedule makers did this way before they had any idea that this stuff was happening. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe that's not true. But for it to be week one, that's even more crazy that you get three of those matchups. Have you watched Hard Knocks?
No, I have not. And I just keep forgetting. They're not really – I don't see a lot of advertisements for it as much. I was up late last night getting Big Oak TV ready – for not just for tonight, but rest of the season. And I was watching, I turned on HBO Max just to have something on, and I thought, it's too late to start it. But no, I haven't. They're two episodes in, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Have you?
I haven't. I've just seen some excerpts of some different things.
And another reason it doesn't interest me, something about Detroit just doesn't seem interesting to me.
See, but I think that's I really do, from what I've seen, I think that's a natural kind of thought of a lot of fans, Detroit. But I think with Dan Campbell and the energy of his coaching staff, I actually think it's very, very interesting. They're an interesting team. Everything but football. But
last year, they were kind of those scrappy underdog kind of guys, and that started with their head coach. So he seems like a natural Detroit seemed like a natural selection. Like, okay, that's where we need to go next, because they seem like a team that could be okay if they get some good things going. And then the head coach, he seemed very like a guy you'd want to see behind the scenes and uncensored.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Dan Campbell, he seems like a riot. And then, of course, there's the local tie with, you know, a sixth-round pick at Malcolm Rodriguez, who a lot of people, if you just watched him play football – at Oklahoma State, had a pretty high opinion of him. Then when he started measuring, he was faster than people thought, but still, you know, give him 2 inches and he's probably a second or third round pick of height anyhow. And instead, now you're seeing a football player, which, you know, this is something that I had kind of on the agenda on Monday to ask Jim, and we never really got to it. But I do think that there's certain places and certain organizations, and Detroit has not been one of these, but maybe they're becoming that with this coaching staff, and that is places where ball players want to play. Just be a ball player, and you don't have to be the best athlete. Just play ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's certain spots, and there always has been and always will be in all professional sports, where that's going to matter. And that's when those people you see do their due diligence and find guys in those spots that turn out, and you go, golly, how did everybody else miss on them? You know? And, you know, Malcolm Rodriguez might be the case.
Yeah.
Of one of those guys, and maybe Detroit could be that as well.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else? Have we made enough of a buffer between Deshaun to be able to go to high school football?
I think we're fine.
All right, scrimmage tonight here in Elk City, Elk City El Reno. Middle school at 5, the high school will follow around 6 or so. Some other scrimmages within the district and around the area. Clinton will go to Newcastle. You know, that used to be something we'd never see because that was a district game. Now that Newcastle has gone into District 2, those two will scrimmage. Chickasha will be with Durant, Blanchard, and Noble. Merritt, and Frederick will go down to Mangum. Correction, we've been talking about Hollis and Wilson playing next Friday.
Well, that's what the book said. Thank you, Vibe.
That's gotten changed. So that game will not happen, and Hollis will open up the 2nd of September, as will Merritt.
So they're week one, okay.
Yeah, so they'll be a week one. So the Elks are the only game in town on Paragon or Big Elk TV coming up next Friday in week 0 season opener. As far as tonight goes, we'll be there. We're going to be it's going to be kind of a dry run for us to make sure we got some new equipment, make sure it's running. It's not going to be like your prototypical broadcast that you're used to, you're hearing from us as far as, you know, the play-by-play of every single play. We're going to definitely mention what's going on the field, but also kind of a preview of what we're doing here for those of you that want to tune in and watch. We got some stuff for some kids. Thank you to Corbin Perkey at the high school. Hopefully we can get a really good relationship going between that and us.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
And be able to incorporate some of their work into our broadcast, some of their kids into our, you know.
I've always loved that idea. We're broadcasting high school athletics. What, you know, and let's get some kids to help us out who want to learn, you know. So we want to help them out too.
That's right.
So I love that.
Daniel Garbarino will be our sideline reporter this year. Can't wait to get his insight. He knows the game for sure. And so that's going to be a lot of fun to have him down there on the sideline. We'll miss Hunter, but, you know, he's gone on to bigger and better things with the team. So that totally makes sense. So that'll be our group.
I think Garbarino just wanted the excuse to be on the sideline to yell at his kid.
Well, yeah, you never know.
To go over there. We'll just make sure his mic's off when that happens.
Yeah, be quick on the little knob there. So you'll be able to see it tonight. We're not necessarily going to be describing it as we will.
I think we're going to, test everything. We'll have the camera on. You could watch as the scrimmage unfolds because it's a scrimmage. It's real informal. You're going to see a lot of stoppage with coaching because that's the idea, is to get these – it's for both teams to coach them up and get them ready for the season. So it's not going to be a traditional scrimmage. We might have tally marks on the side. Okay, we punched one in. They punched one in. We punched one in. You know, maybe get a chance to look at special teams and stuff like that because there are some new faces the Big Elks, and we want to see them too. But then I think we'll have more or less of, like you said earlier, a football preview. Talk about what we expect not only at the Big Elks, but the district, surrounding teams, and in the state as a whole. So it's going to be fun. We'll just hang out and have fun.
Yeah, it get a new look at a new look offense. Obviously, first-year head coach Zach Maynard. He was defensive coordinator last year under Coach Meadows. You know, I think just for the Elks, see how long it takes the offense to gel. It's going to be timing because you're going to have a lot of moving parts going. Good news for Elk City is a lot of the big dudes are back. The offensive line should be an absolute strength of this team. The defense as a whole should be a strength. And so I think they're set up. I get it. There's very few guys that actually touch the football when the game mattered, that are back this year, Cooper Garbarino being one of them. You know, Cooper Patton, he started at running back down in Ada a couple years ago in the playoff game when Daylon was hurt. He didn't get as much work last year because Daylon was there the entire time, and the dude set the record for single season rushing at Elk City, and he was just an absolute load and a workhorse, and had a great, tremendous season. And so there's obviously the who's going to replace that production is top of mind, I'm sure, on Elk City fans when they think about, okay, offensive football, what are they going to do to replace Daylon?
Yeah, that's a position, the quarterback position. You know, a lot of the skill positions are we're going to see some new faces. We'll see some familiar ones too that maybe we
If you're watching, you know, at the end of blowouts last year, yeah, you've heard some of these guys' names.
Yeah, and you saw the potential in these kids. Now I'm anxious to see, are they stronger? Are they faster? And it's amazing in high school how much a difference between a sophomore kid and a junior, because that's usually when they can get bigger and faster if they put the work in. And from what we can tell, they've been putting in a lot of work in the off season. So I'm anxious to see that. But if you, and I know we've said this, when you have turnover like this, the it's really, I think it's almost like a chicken egg thing. Would you rather have all returning skill positions and replacing the offensive defensive line, or vice versa? And I like the latter. I like having the offensive line, defensive line, the big guys returning, because, I mean, listen, and Thompson would tell you first thing, said, I'm not set breaking a record without those guys. And when you're trying to break in guys at those skill positions, you know, quarterback for one, you know, he's dropping back to pass, he can trust, like, man, these veterans in front are going to keep me safe while I'm learning my position or growing into this position. So that's very promising for me. I think that's why we saw, you know, we'll really break this down tonight, but there's different opinions of how the district's going to shake up. And one we didn't agree with, and the other one I think we're okay with, that was the coaches poll, has the Big Elk finishing second.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting district-wide, because everybody has question marks.
Yeah.
Even the teams that have a bunch coming back weren't very good.
And that's the question. Will they be
good? Will they get
now
better?
Because
right.
They got, yeah.
You know, and then the two teams obviously that played in the semifinals with Elk City and Clinton have to replace. I mean, Clinton's got four starters back on both sides of the ball. That's a ton to replace. And oh, by the way, the biggest difference maker in 4A football with Caden Powell. I mean, that's a lot to replace. Now, most people go, yeah, it's Clinton. I get it. But it's almost like, okay, until you see it, until you know, okay. I don't disagree that they're the favorite at all, just because, once again, it's Clinton. And the teams that might be in line behind them have questions too. I mean, we just talked about the Elks. I mean, Garbarino's literally kind of the only guy that's touched the football. You know, Levy Owens got hurt at the first of the year. Looked like he might have been right there with Krause at the fullback spot. He tore his ACL. He's back. He's going to be a focal point of this offensive attack, but we've never really seen him do it. You know, and then everybody else struggled. Weatherford struggled. Chickasha struggled. Cash struggled. John Marshall is a total question mark. Mm-hmm. And then Woodward, coming from 5A to 4A, they haven't won a playoff game in almost a decade. So there's I think it's easy to kind of look at District 1, and it's the most kind of up-in-the-air one there is. Could there be good teams? Sure. Could it be pretty average? Absolutely. Just depends on, like, I mean, how much growth can happen from, you know, freshman to sophomore, sophomore to junior. And, you know, those guys are talented probably everywhere. Mm-hmm. But are they ready? Are they ready to step up and play varsity football at a high level? That's, we don't know until we see it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Around the state, who do you think's a favorite in 4A? If you right now, if I said, okay, Jared, who's going to win the Class 4A state football title? Who you got?
Because of everything that we said about returning starters, you know, returning talent, I'd lean Cushing.
Me too. 100%. We saw him. That was one hell of a win that Elk City was able to pull off in the first round of the playoffs last year. And they have everybody back.
Everybody. Yeah.
I could not agree with that more. Tuttle lost a ton, as did Clinton, the two teams that played in the finals. Poto, it seems like they've been on a pretty good run here lately where they're toward the top of 4A year in, year out, almost no matter who they lose, right? I mean, they've been pretty dang good over the last 3 or 4 years. There's always Wagner. They're always going to be some level of good. And I think a lot of people think this might be a year where, you know, they won it, 2 years ago, lost everybody, then had kind of a rebuilding year. Are they rebuilt back to be at the top? But I could not agree more with you. To me, to start out with, Cushing has to be the favorite in my mind, just because they don't have many questions to answer other than can they get it done?
Yeah. Yeah. But keep an eye on Wagner. You mentioned them, and they're in the same district with Cushing. So circle that game when that happens. I don't have it in front of me. But that one, we all knew what was going on with Wagner. They had a lot of turnover. But, yeah, I think Cushing is a team that they just bring everybody back. I think they're really, really good. I mentioned Wagner. Everyone's going to look at the defending champ, Clinton. They got some turnover issue, but every time, at least when I was growing up, when that would happen, it's like, well, next man up, and then they'd go and get another title. I think a lot of people are kind of thinking, well, okay, Clinton's back, and that's what they're going to do. So let's see what happens. And, you know, if they go and I think they'll be okay in their week one matchup against Kingfisher, but then I don't know in what order they play McGinnis, Heritage Hall, or other way around. I mean, depending on how they shake that out after those first three games, I mean, if they go 3-0 in that stretch, then uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
But even if they go 1-2, people are going to go, well, look who they played. They're still, you know, that just iron sharpens iron. Look what Elk City's scheduled too, with Canadian, Texas, Carl Albert.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I love scheduling like that.
Yeah, that's
– I love it.
I mean, it was a given from 1994 until 2012 or 13 that it didn't matter what Clinton lost. They were still going to be good. It was a given. I don't know that they're there yet. If they prove it this year after losing what they've lost with only four guys back on each side of the ball, then okay. Put them in the reload mode. There's, you know what I mean? There's not rebuild anymore. It's reload. And they've got guys. Trey Bennett was the fullback, not used a ton because of what they had with Seabolt and also Nate Jones at the tailback spot. But it sure seemed like every time he touched the ball, it was 10 yards. Easy. You know, so where does he scooch back to be more of a tailback? Does he stay in that fullback role and it just gets enhanced? Javion Hill, the linebacker, was one of the top 100 in the Vibe magazine. I think he'd be a junior this year. Bennett will be a senior. And they've got some of those guys back on the lines too. They lost some, have some, just a couple. So, yeah, but there's always going to be younger guys ready to step up at Clinton. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. Just how ready are they as far as – hey, we're not talking about making the playoffs. We're talking about winning a state title. You know what I mean? That's the difference. It's not – you know, it's not, like winning the district and winning a state title is the kind of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it always has been and it always will be. It does feel like, at least in this district – you've got two teams, even with losses that they've sustained from last year. It feels like two of the four, you're fairly confident or mostly confident are going to be in the playoffs, and that is the two that played in the semifinals with Elk City and Clinton. You feel really good about those two's chances of making it to the playoffs in whatever order. Everybody else, you know, I know there's some people that think Woodward just coming down a class automatically makes them so much more dangerous. You know, when they left 4A, they were in this district. It's not like they were dominating it to any sort of extreme. So we'll see if that really comes to fruition. It's hard to believe Weatherford will be at the level they were last year, which was a down year for sure. for them. But they had a bunch of young guys. Got the quarterback of the Lions back as well. So, you know, to me, they seem like the team that's ready to kind of make the playoffs and get back to kind of where we expect Weatherford to be.
I've got them in my top four. I just can't decide where in my top four, but I do. I'm solid with the top two, and but yeah, I agree with you. Just can't envision Weatherford having another year like that. That's just not in their nature. So I can see them coming back, and they got a heck of a wide receiver. Help me with his name.
Yeah, C.J. Nixon.
Yeah, yeah. And then the experienced quarterback with the Lions.
Yeah, and he was a freshman. The Chisholm kids were freshmen. I mean, they had some guys. They just, you know, when you stack them up against the teams, at least on I-40 right here, with the senior-laden teams that Elk City and Clinton had, I mean, it's an easy expression to make, but, you know, man, there's a lot of difference between a 15-year-old kid and a 19-year-old kid, mm-hmm. you know, and so, yeah, well, it was almost like the perfect storm for them to be down and
everybody else
kind of be up.
And we've seen it right here, how playing young guys eventually pays off for you.
4 years in the making
exactly.
Last year.
So,
watching those guys take their lumps for two as freshmen and then get better and then have the season like they did a year ago, for sure.
Yeah, Weatherford's going to be fine.
Of the rest, you trust Woodward more than the other three?
To make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder about John Marshall because I don't know anything about him. I you know what I mean? Cash, they too were kind of down last year.
Yeah, talk about out of the norm.
Very.
2-8 for Cash.
Very out of the norm.
Very, very, very.
They used to be tough out every game, win or loss. You knew you're going to get a tough Bulldog team. But so I'm not comfortable putting Woodward at four because of those two. I know more about Cash. Obviously, we know more about Cash, the familiarity there.
It does feel like one of those four, Woodward, Chickasha, John Marshall, or Cash, it's going to be better than a lot of people think.
Yeah, but couldn't
but
you,
I don't know who it's going to be.
It's a toss-up. Well, I would.
And you might even put Weatherford in there.
I want to put Weatherford. I almost don't want to. I almost want to put them above those teams. But because I trust their coach, I trust that program over there, I know they're going to be fine. Woodward coming back down. Again, John Marshall, a lot of unknowns, obviously. And then we know about Cash. That was uncharacteristic for him. I could easily see John Marshall and Cash beating Woodward. And on the other side of the coin, I could see Woodward beating those two teams
right.
and being that fourth team in. So it's a jumbled mess right there at the bottom three.
It does feel – and Chickasha's there too.
Oh, yeah, Chickasha.
Mm-hmm. But it does – in the same way that you want to give Weatherford the benefit of the doubt because they've been a better program than they played last year, just with circumstances were obvious with tons of young dudes out there. I want to do the same thing with Cash.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like Woodward was making the playoffs every year in 5A and then coming down to 4A. That's not what was happening. If it would have been, then I get it. Oh, yeah. They're coming down a class. They got the numbers, da-da-da, whatever. And you know what else they weren't doing?
Hmm.
Beating any of these teams that were on their schedule, i.e. Clinton or Weatherford. They weren't beating them either.
That's true.
So – I think just to pencil them in at number two, it might happen. I'm not telling you it's not going to, but to pencil them in at number two, I think is a little bit ambitious, at least right now, until we get to see him out on the field. But yeah, it does without knowing much about John Marshall because we haven't seen him. Chickasha, you know, they got Murphy back at the running back spot. He's a load. They lost some guys around him. You know, it seems like 5-4 if Cash can get back to kind of where they were. So, otherwise, then maybe it's 5-2 spots if the Elks and Clinton play to the level that most people think that they ought to play, even though they did sustain some losses. Who else around? Is there somebody around the state that you think might be able to do to make some noise and it's not really being talked about right now, i.e. what the Elks were able to do last year?
We can
go all
4A
over 4A.
All
in
over 4A. We've mentioned them all as far as who our favorites could be. I think Wagner bounces back. I don't think obviously Grove is gone. They're up in 5A. I mean, not really, not in 4A. I think we've got it covered. I think we've mentioned the contenders, both statewide and district wide.
Do you think Bethany Blanchard can overtake Tuttle just with the losses that Tuttle sustained?
I think Bethany could. I don't know about Blanchard. But there you go again, going back to, do you rebuild or reload? And is that what Tuttle's going to do? Feels like it. Feels like they could.
Yeah.
So, but if there's any team that can knock them off in that new district, maybe I would lean Bethany.
Yeah, Bethany's
Tuttle's still my favorite in that district.
Bethany's got Taylor Heim. We saw him, the bigger quarterback,
mm-hmm.
That was athletic, made some plays against the Elks. Newcastle's always a team that's kind of interesting. He seemed to have gotten just more athletic as the years that they were in this district rolled on, you know. And then they get down there into District 2. It'll be interesting to see how they fare. Not a playoff team last year in 4A1. Can they be in 4A2? Because last year it seemed like 4A2 was the strongest district in the state.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, you drop Cushing – move in Newcastle. I don't think Tuttle, and also move in Bethany. I don't think Tuttle and Blanchard are upset with Cushing leaving and maybe those two coming in.
Not at all. Shorter trip, too.
Yeah, at least for this year.
Yeah. Yeah. 4A to me, though, it still feels top heavy.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think it's all about how the two title teams reload. Or can they?
Yep.
To how strong 4A is going to end up being.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal, wrapping it up here for another week. It's a Garrison Financial Friday. Scott Garrison was in here with us earlier talking about the gambling aspect of sports and whether or not the state of Oklahoma can manage to get that done. Scott@soonerwealth.com is his email address. Southeast corner of 3rd and Main is where you can visit him. He loves to work with the client's accountants to streamline tax ramifications and returns, manage your investments, build you a portfolio, does full financial planning, shops the open market to bring the best value on life insurance and investments as well. That is Scott Garrison at Garrison Financial. This is a Financial Friday with Scott. What you got on the agenda for the weekend?
Well, it's the last weekend before college football starts, really, right? I mean, you mentioned Nebraska and Northwestern. I'm really looking forward to that, just I think because of the Ireland thing.
Got to see how my Huskers are.
Yeah. You know, they named Thompson the starter.
I saw that. I did.
Did I
see that.
Rumors that Card was going to be named the starter in Texas? Was that just speculation on the Twitter sphere?
I saw Ewers was going to – he had a little video – that
he's teasing
an announcement today.
Ewers said that.
Ewers, yes.
So you would think that means he's going to be named the starter.
You would think? I mean, why is he teasing an announcement himself?
Why is he teasing? That's weird. Yeah, it's weird. Texas is weird. Anyways, no, I got nothing planned. I actually thought about golfing tomorrow. Right? I mean, is it going to rain? Tomorrow? It feels like it's more south.
I think the rain really comes. I think the better chance is Sunday.
Yeah.
But there is. Here, let me pull up the National Weather Service. 20% after 1 p.m., but then 50% after 1 a.m. So Saturday night, Sunday morning,
going,
and then
going
80% on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I
think, you may be in the clear on Saturday.
I thought about getting up early for Saturday standards early, you know, and going. That's about it.
Then there's chances of rain all the way through clear to next Thursday.
Probably. Well, I know I will be in the batting barn Sunday.
Did you happen to notice the forecast for next Friday?
No.
The high was in the 80s. How long has it been since we've had a football season opener that you weren't just...
We'll still sweat.
Completely sopping wet.
We will still sweat in the press box.
Make sure that window unit's working, Hunt. Matter of fact, fire that dude on right now. I am 93.
No, I'll take the 80s.
Heck yeah.
I'll take the 80s.
I will.
Any plans for you?
I don't think so. Trying to remember.
I got to...
There was going to be some golf. No
honey-do list?
There was going to be some golf tomorrow. That see, here's the thing. A week from tomorrow, here at the Elk City Golf and Country Club, they're having what's known as the Diamond in the Rough.
Yes.
It's a two-woman scramble. And so my wife and sister-in-law are going to play. And they were going to do a little practicing for that tournament tomorrow.
Good.
That has been moved up to today, this afternoon at some point.
Good.
So,
yeah,
Wyatt and I were going to do some golfing as well tomorrow. Now, maybe not. I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. By the way, I had to brag on him. The other night, we played 9 holes on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And he learned, he did really well. He also learned a little lesson in golfing karma and talking smack.
Oh, yeah. That'll get you every time.
He had a good he hit a really good tee shot on 12. He hit the ball on the green on 13 and 14. And then he started talking smack about beating me. And next thing you know, he couldn't get it off the ground.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Yeah. You talk with your score, young man, not with your lips. No, just yeah, I was pretty impressed, though. That was my first outing with his new clubs. He had sent his clubs down the pike with some cousins. They were a little bit younger. Mm-hmm. They were a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
And then they bought – so it's just going to be kind of not an assembly line. But anyway.
Right. Yeah.
As everybody grows up. And so, yeah, he hit some pretty good ones. I was impressed.
Good.
And then he also learned a lesson. So I was even more impressed. We're hearing – I have some questions on the text line that we never got to. Question about Meadows. Oh, there you go. Retired. You answered it.
Yeah. I guess we had mentioned Coach Maynard.
Yeah. And that's right.
And it wasn't like a big announcement grand parade, but Meadows did retire.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the plan. I think everybody knew that. And he righted the ship and handed it off to Maynard, who's going to keep it going.
One of our listeners, what's he doing this weekend? It just says beer. Also,
I think that goes without saying. Whatever we do, it's probably going to be there too.
Yeah, speak for yourself. Have you watched the Manti Te'o documentary yet?
Nah, my list of needing to watch stuff is adding up. I've seen that too. I'm hearing some good things about it. That's really interesting. On Netflix, right?
Yeah, I think it's a Netflix operation.
Well, if it rains all day Sunday, I might be watching a lot. I need to watch the Nolan Ryan documentary. I don't want to watch this. Got Hard Knocks to watch. Want to watch She-Hulk?
What?
New show on Disney, Marvel. I need to catch up on my watching.
You know what else you could hopefully you can watch on Sunday afternoon if it's raining outside?
Which is?
Corn Ferry Tour Finals in Boise, Idaho. Started yesterday.
Yeah. Can we watch that?
I think it'll be on the Golf Channel. I really do. On Sunday afternoon, how to watch. It's right here.
Great.
No, 7 to 9, which could be live in Boise. It'd be 5 o'clock out there. So yeah, but it will be live from 7 to 9. The reason why you'd want to watch that is a Weatherford native, Quade Cummins, tied for 10th right now. He has not started his second round. He's fired a bogey-free 6-under-65 yesterday in the first round. He is now 4 shots back. Philip Knowles shot 10 deep yesterday, a 61. But just 9 guys in between there with the tie for 10th. So it's Quade's tied for 10th after round 1 with a 66. Here's how this works. It's a 3-tournament series, which each tournament you get points for your finishes. If you end up in the top 25 after the end of these 3 tournaments, you will get a PGA Tour card. Quade's already secured his Korn Ferry Tour card for next year by finishing in the top 75 of the Korn Ferry Tour points list. Now gets another chance at a PGA Tour card. And here's the deal. With these 3 tournaments and the amount of points, man, if you can finish, if you can get like a top 2 or 3, it's hard not to make it, which is 2 other tournaments left. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, a couple of top 10s puts you in great shape. A really high fin, I mean, a win secures it essentially, guarantees that you're going to be on the PGA Tour. So we'll see how Quade does. Just 1 round in, but a really nice round of 6-under-65 yesterday out in Boise, Idaho. It's good to see. Local kid trying to make his way and fulfill a dream to be a PGA Tour golfer, and he's hanging in there, trying to get closer to that goal. All right. Don't forget.
Tonight.
What do you think? Probably 6 o'clock?
Yeah, we'll probably go live at 6.
6 o'clock live. Get you ready.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, if it's like JV at 6, that'll give us a chance to kind of run through what would be a pregame type thing.
Sure.
So, Big Elk TV, Elks and El Reno scrimmage. Everyone have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blitzed.